So nearly 8:48, and on the way we're going to discuss a Korean research institute preparing the world's 11th fastest supercomputer. Wouldn't mind that in my own house. I'm not sure if it would fit in my own house though. And Xinhua News Agency unveiling AI news anchors that can be on air potentially 24/7. How does that sit with you? As a sort of media professional, I'm a little uneasy about it, but for you as a news consumer, how would you feel about computers delivering your news? #1013 for 51 per message. While you think about it, let's bring in Mark Zastro, science journalist. Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
And we're going to start with an ancient Egyptian ramp shedding light on how the pyramids were built. It is, even with like scientific models, it's still staggering. How did they build those pyramids?
Yeah, it really is one of the world's great unexplained mysteries. This might get us a little bit closer to understanding how, though. So archaeologists from the UK and France, they were actually working in an old Egyptian quarry, the remains of an alabaster quarry, when they came across this ramp that was about 4,500 years old. And they announced this discovery earlier this month. And they think this ramp has some important clues to the technology that the Egyptians used to build the pyramids. Now, of course, we've long assumed that they used ramps to get the stones up as high as they were. But this also suggests that pulleys were involved, because they found on either side of the ramp two staircases. And those staircases actually have holes sort of drilled or, you know, put into them at regular intervals. And so what the researchers think is that these holes were actually used to hold wooden poles. And so this wasn't just people pulling hills up the rocks. They were actually making pulleys. They would take the ropes and lash them around the poles. And that way, the rocks would be on a sled. They could pull the sled up the hill, but they could also pull the ropes downhill to make the sled go uphill, which would make it a lot easier task.
So we don't have to rely on an ancient alien theory.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. But seriously, I think if nothing else, increases the level of respect for the level of expertise ancient people had. Sometimes they are all too readily dismissed as being rather primitive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you said it was a quarry for alabaster. The pyramids weren't built out of alabaster. Do you have any evidence that these were used in the pyramids themselves?
No, not yet. So that is one of the caveats here. But it does show that they at least had this technology. And, as you say, what a remarkable society this was. They had 2,000 years before the Greeks did. So it's actually the oldest known example of this. So it's logical to assume that they could have used this technology to construct the pyramids. And it actually makes it significantly easier, because it helps make the ramp a bit smaller. It turns out that the ramp that they found is actually much steeper than anyone had predicted. So if they in fact used one large ramp to build the pyramids, wrapping around the pyramid, it could be much smaller than we had initially assumed.
Now, this research team wasn't trying originally to uncover ramps or anything about the pyramids. They were actually focused on studying Egyptian graffiti. Sometimes you just find something else when you're looking...
Yeah, that's for sure.
For an object, don't you? It happens to all of us.
Yeah, but to me, this is one of the most remarkable things about this story that has almost gotten no attention compared to this ramp that they found. But yeah, the researchers originally, they went there to study inscriptions that the workers had left on the walls. So it turns out that the workers in the quarry would chip messages into the walls for people in the future, for other people who would come in, because generations would work in the same quarry. So they would use it to record logistics, or they would just write messages to them saying, we were good people, and please give us offerings when we're dead. So it's really just a remarkable archaeological site. As you say, it shows us how remarkable the society really was too.
Moving closer to home, this supercomputer that is being held up as a technological leap for South Korea.
That's right. Last week in Daejeon, the Korea Institute of Science and Technology Information, or KISTI, unveiled a brand new supercomputer. It's called the Nurion. It's built by Cray, the U.S. Manufacturer. And in tests, it has 25.7 petaflops of processing power using 500,000 CPU cores.
Are you sure you haven't just made up the word petaflops?
I'm sure.
It does sound like a made-up word.
Right. It's 1,000 times a trillion. So it's really, really fast.
Sounds like someone saying bazillion when they've run out of illions.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. In real terms, let me try to use some numbers that are maybe more easy to understand for even for me. According to the top 500 list, which is the authority on global supercomputing speeds, it currently ranks the 13th fastest supercomputer in the world. The Institute says that they will be able to get that to the world's 11th fastest supercomputer when it's running at full capacity.
25.7 petaflops, well beyond most of our reach. And yes, that is legitimate, apparently. So a single supercomputer on its own, not perhaps earth-shaking. It's going to be a big jump for research here, though.
That's right. It really just this one computer puts Korea on the map in terms of supercomputing power, because before this one, the fastest research supercomputer in Korea, it only ranked at like number 400 in the world. And this one is 18 times faster than that. So this will be great for researchers. You know, nowadays, these supercomputers, they're almost like they can be like a public resource. Any scientist who wants to use one, you know, can easily control one through the cloud. So you feed it your calculations or your simulation model, and you upload that and run it. So, you know, a supercomputer, it's a truly national resource. It's almost like a, you know, like a big telescope. It sits in one place, but anyone at any research institute can apply for time to use it. So Kisti says that this will be used for basic science, like cosmological simulations, and also some applied, more applied research like market analysis, urban planning, and AI research.
Maybe they could try and master the basic art of speech if they're going to go down the AI route. Because last week, China's state news agency Xinhua introduced AI news anchors. And the implication is one day real anchors, and one day soon even, real anchors could be put out of a job.
Right. Watch your back. yeah, these AI anchors, they're a collaboration between Xinhua and the search engine Sogao, and They're similar to deepfakes, actually. They use AI to take a script and a computer-generated voice, and then they combine it with footage of a real anchor. But they change the mouth and facial expression so that it looks as if the real anchor is reading the words that it is supplied. So they did release a couple of videos in Chinese and English. And in the video of the English-speaking one, which maybe you've seen, he says, the anchor says, "I will work tirelessly to keep you informed as texts will be typed into my system uninterrupted." And I have to say, I don't know how you felt about this, but for me, this kind of fell into the uncanny valley.
Well, you know, for me, I honestly just am so put off by the robotic intonation. And, mm-hmm. you know, intonation is not something that even most people can naturally pick up. When you first pick up a script to read, sure. and you have to read it as if you're not reading, it takes probably months to get even to the point where listeners are not picking up on something unnatural in the sound. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't know where AI is going with that. But then there's the whole, even if they master that part of the speech, there's the whole aspect of offering opinions or changing based on a, like if you're doing an interview, changing the script based on an answer that's given.
Right.
So I don't feel under threat personally, but in future generations, if they were as good, I don't know. Even today, like machines can make fantastic clothing, but people will often pay more for hand-stitched or handmade expertise, don't they?
Right. It's a very limited set that this anchor would be able to do, basically just being a...
for now, Mark.
It's a news reader.
Wait right? till they take over the science and tech segment.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Great to have you here.
Out.